On the Fringe with Dan, radio style. Hope everybody out there's having themselves a great day. Man, we got a jam-packed news today. We got all sorts of things covering all over the place. It's amazing. Yeah, and hey, we had a hypersonic missile test that actually went very well. We're going to talk about that. Now, I wanted to start off with a little ditty from the past, a little song. Well, sort of song. It's Mr. Rogers doing his little sing-songy thing, but it's kind of funny what he's talking about. Check it out. It's got some people pissed off.
Boys are boys from the beginning. If you were born a boy, you stay a boy. Girls are girls right from the start. If you were born a girl, you stay a girl and grow up to be a lady. Only girls can be the mommies. Only boys can be the daddies.
Huh. That's weird. That seems to go counterintuitive to everything that's taught to everybody nowadays. Now, another thing that a lot of people don't realize as well. Did you know, when it came down to voting for the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, that's the one that freed slaves, by the way, the party that voted almost completely against it, and then the party that almost voted, that did vote completely for it, well, it's the opposite parties that typically are brought up. So from the House, the people that voted for the 13th Amendment, which again freed the slaves, the people that voted for freeing the slaves, that was Republicans. 84 Republicans voted. 14 Democrats did. Good on you for your 14 Democrats. All the people against in the House, 50 of them were Democrats. No Republicans were against it. And abstaining, that was 8 Democrats. Now from the Senate, 4 was 34. Republicans. Democrats, there was 3 that were actually for freeing the slaves. Against freeing the slaves, there were 6 senators. And abstained, there was 3 senators, and all 9 of them were Democrats. Kind of goes against the standard thinking, right? It's kind of funny how that plays out. Now, another thing that's interesting news from the Brunson case, believe it or not. The U.S. Supreme Court set the date for conference. February 17th. I thought this thing got kicked to the curb, but whatever the case is, Roland Brunson's letting us know. They have agreed to reconsider our case for a possible hearing. If we get 4 votes, then our petition will be granted, which means that the Solicitor General, along with her team of expert lawyers, will have a chance to battle it out with the Brunson brothers and see if the judges will determine that the oath of office is important. Because right now, it might as well not exist. This whole case rests on this one question. If there is no penalty for breaking the oath of office, then why have it at all? Good point. Now, again, is their response appropriate? And I think they went into this. They had 10 days to do what they were supposed to do. Again, I feel like they got a tough road to hoe, if you will, or tough row to hoe. I think that's the proper way to say that, but whatever. Now, Hunter Biden, this is bringing up all sorts of interesting comments all over the place. I didn't pull them all up because it's just ridiculous how much is going on around this. But interestingly, Hunter Biden requests a federal probe into Trump allies for the, quote, theft of the laptop data. Now, what that implies is that Hunter's admitting that the laptop data, anyways, is his. Now, we've got a contract that he signed with the laptop, with the dude where he left it, and it probably said somewhere in there, quite sure, that if this is never picked up, then I get to keep it, or if it's not paid for, or however this played out. So I'm sure we've got a legal case there, but they want to go after, obviously, Giuliani and stuff like that, because I think he was the one that really brought it to the FBI originally. Now, Hunter's lawyer came out and said, this by no means admits that this is Hunter's laptop. And everyone's like, excuse me? Yeah, it does. Because otherwise, if you're suing someone for having data that's not yours, then how do you have standing? So the only way you could possibly have standing, Hunter, is if the laptop itself is yours, right? So whatever his lawyer says, it's just lawyer talk. You can't believe her. Now, the FBI searches Biden's house, his beach house, and they found nothing. You surprised? I'm not. I wasn't even remotely surprised. I was like, well, duh. Of course, that's what I said would happen. When does Bureau search Hunter's house? Now, interestingly, this, quote, raid on Benedict Biden's home was a sham. The FBI literally set an appointment Two different quotes. Under DOJ's standard procedures, in the interest of operational security and integrity, it sought to do this work without advance public notice, and we agreed to cooperate. The search today is a further step in a thorough and timely DOJ process we will continue to fully support and facilitate. We will have further information at the conclusion of today's speech. This was Biden's team and lawyers telling us that. And then in another statement, after the search, Bauer released this. The DOJ planned search of the President Rehoboth residences, conducted in coordination and cooperation with the president's attorneys, has concluded. The search was conducted from 8:30 a.m. to noon. Anyway, no documents with classified markings were found consistent with the process in Wilmington. The DOJ took for further review some materials and handwritten notes that appear to relate to his time as vice president. So, kind of nothing, right? Big nothing burger. But that's what we expected. Now, Ted Cruz is calling on Biden AG Merrick Garland to be impeached. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. The dude's doing a piss-poor job. He's weaponized the DOJ against conservatives, really against Americans. This is all about communist takeover of this country. Merrick Garland's at the, well, kind of at the helm, if you will, to a degree. Biden, obviously, too. I mean, there's a number of people that are directly involved in this. So Ted Cruz calling it out is pretty fantastic. Well, doubt it gets anywhere. I mean, he's in the Senate. There's not a damn thing he can do. We'll see if the House has got a lot to do. And gosh, if you think about it, I think about it from like a software standpoint of trying to prioritize tickets or stories or whatever. And you start to run into you've only got a finite amount of time. You only got a finite amount of resources that can look into things, right? Jim Jordan's only got so much time in the day. How many different investigations can he accomplish? How quickly can they get finished? How quickly can we get to the next set of investigations, right? Like, there's a bit of a time lag for all the people that are like, this is going to be resolved next month. By March, we should have everything figured out. Like, that's kind of insane. I just don't see how that can happen. I just don't think it's possible. Too many things have to happen. Too much public support has to be formed around this. I mean, you dislike the fact that I'm saying what I'm saying. Ultimately, I think it's probably closer to reality than a lot of the hopium that people are taking out there. I mean, again, we are going to win this. There's no question in my mind about that. How quickly it happens? Well, yeah, lots of question around that. So, got some new info around this FBI agent, Charles McGonigal. We've talked about him a little bit. He was jailed for taking bribes from a Russian oligarch, headed the office overseeing Hunter Biden's illegal representation of Chinese spy Patrick Ho. This guy literally took bribes from this Hunter Biden's illegal representation, or Hunter Biden's little Chinese spy friend, Patrick Ho. Both of their daughters were also on the same sports team. So again, we kind of talked about this. Again, want to keep it on the front burner a little bit. But we're also seeing from Kenekoa the Great, Hunter accepted a $1 million check or whatever from Chinese spy Patrick Ho and sought the names of FBI agents on behalf of Dr. Patrick Ho in clear violation of FARA. The Biden family committed dozens of FARA violations with the punishment for each up to 5 years in prison. Again, truth is coming out. Now, will the DOJ investigate this? No. That's part of the problem. But again, how many crimes that we put up there, and the DOJ keeps doing nothing about it? Who ends up looking bad? Again, that's part of this process. That's why the House is doing what they're doing. It's why it's going to take longer than a lot of people want to realize. But it is, in fact, playing out. Now, Ted Cruz says if the DOJ is following the law, they will be looking at the connection between Joe and Hunter Biden. But if the DOJ tries to separate the two, they are trying to protect the big guy. Watch for the tell. And he's right. And it ties into exactly what I was saying. So Ted Cruz is calling it out. He's been on Fox and everybody's always on Fox, right? But he's been all over the place talking some good talk. It's one thing he's really good at. Now, James Gordon Meek, we talked about this guy. This is the guy that they're claiming. I think he was the ABC News producer, right? And he was the one that apparently got busted, quote unquote, by the FBI for transporting child pornography. But what we're actually finding out is it seems like he was doing some pretty awesome investigative reporting and was actually exposing all sorts of bad, nefarious things going on, and certainly things with child pornography and some other things, but also in relation to the FBI. So it seems that he possibly was steamrolled by the FBI. I don't know. He was probably set up, is what people are speculating. And they're saying this Mark Polymiopoulos, or whoever his name is, actually it started a long time ago. We learned this between 2014 and 2022. Not just now. It was an 8-year lab experiment on Russian TTPs, on EW, on everything. This is why Ukrainians, with our advice, assist, are doing so well. What does this have to do with the ABC News reporter? Facts. Anyway, I don't know why that got linked together. It doesn't seem like they belong together. Strange. Anyway, whatever. We also got this going on here. So, they're saying. 2 months after receiving a $500,000 investment from Hunter Biden's Rosemont Seneca in 2014, Ukrainian biolab Metabiota receives a $23.9 million contract from the Department of Defense. 2 months after Hunter gets money, or they get their investment from Hunter Biden into Rosemont Seneca, then all of a sudden we've got DOD contracts by Obama been signed in. So Metabiota only received $340,000 from DHS prior year, but then they end up with a $23.9 million contract. And now we can also understand why Zelensky was destroying files in February of last year. So a lot of things are coming together, right? As DC Drano says, notice how it was a DOD cash infusion to Metabiota and not DHS like the prior year. The emails from Hunter Biden laptop discuss CIA comparisons. Was Hunter Biden the front man for running U.S. government money to Metabiota for unsupervised gain of function development? A lot of things are coming to the surface. And this is huge when you think about it. It's huge. Groundbreaking almost. Now, Carrie Lake's got some updates about the whole election thing. There's three little briefs she's got. Here's an update on our election case currently in the Arizona Appellate Court. The three-judge panel overseeing the appeal held a private conference Wednesday, February 1st, where the judges met to discuss the case and the briefs. It's the standard procedure for any appeal. The panel could issue a ruling, or if they have questions, they could ask for supplemental briefings or bring in attorneys for oral arguments. Our expectation is the panel will move this case quickly. As soon as I have more information, you will be the first to know. I will never stop fighting for you, Arizona. And really, technically, she's fighting for all of us here in the United States, I think. Plus, we're finding out some interesting info yesterday from, was it Michigan's election, I want to say? They had some crazy shenanigans that were going out there. Jocelyn Benson, not looking very, very good. Whole bunch of stuff they found. Talked about that. Now, Emerald Robinson is doing some really good work lately. I got to give her points. But she says it's now obvious that America's elections are rigged. We have FBI agents in the cyber division posing as election directors in Arizona. Like, think about that for a second. Now, I know a lot of you are like, wait, are you serious? There's an FBI agent in the cyber division posing as election director in Arizona? Yeah. Apparently, her name is Corey Lorick, Arizona State Elections Director, hired in 2021, was in the FBI. That's interesting. Carrie Lake tweeting, coincidence? Look how perfectly Election Day polling failures on November 8th match up with the Republican heat map. Share this anywhere and everywhere you possibly can. Share. So again, all the outages really fall heavy into the heat map. Very few of them fall outside of that, and they're still in a warm area, if you will. So it is interesting how the failures seemed to heavily fall into Republican areas. Now, they are kind of scattered everywhere, and if you look at it, the heat map does seem to imply there's a lot of Republicans in Maricopa County, which is also significant. But I would say, well, I don't know, just quick glance, looks like about 70%+ of all the pins are in the super hot Republican spots. That's strange. Wonder what that could possibly mean. Now, Germany is in talks for $18 billion national missile defense shield after escalations with Russia. First thing that struck me as interesting on this is they didn't ask us for missiles, or at least our Patriot system. And maybe we wouldn't have given it to them. I don't know. I just wonder why they didn't. But whatever the case is they were shopping for this other company's products. See if I can find it. Yeah, here it is. It's a Bavarian-based manufacturer called Diehl Defense. They wanted to purchase up to the 8 of these IRS-T anti-missile systems for a cost of about $2 to $3 billion each. So the 8 IRS anti-missile systems are expected to be just the first layer of a more complex, multi-layered system. So again, IRS battery capable of intercepting fighter jets, inbound cruise missiles, and drones can fire missiles that travel over 40 kilometers. It's an exceptionally short-range system. Again, the S-400 and S-500 systems, I think, go out well over 100 kilometers. They've got an extensive range. Now, again, they got shorter range missiles, too. I believe their batteries consist of, I think, up to 3 different ranges. Whatever. Berlin is finally waking up to the realization that is woefully inadequate military. While Chancellor Olaf Scholz is doing everything possible to increase defense spending and building up Germany's military, comes as concern is mounting that Russia's war on Ukraine could spread both west and deeper into Europe. Germany's last-minute effort to build its military up before it gets dragged into a conflict with Russia is a classic example of too little, too late. Remember, they weren't even paying their fair share with NATO. And now all of a sudden they're like, we got to start spending money. Trump was saying it all along. Trump was saying y'all need to spend money. You need to build up your stuff. You need to stop relying on us to protect you, which is exactly what's happening right now. We are not protecting them the way they expect. Now, Biden keeps trying to funnel stuff there, sure, but ultimately, we're not all that really there. Could be way different than it is. I mean, again, they're trying to push as much crap over there, and the industrial complex, military industrial complex, is definitely trying to sell as much crap as they can. I mean, there's a whole thing going on there. Now, a lot of people are suggesting it's too late to win in Ukraine, just pure and simple. They said a land war with major military power is a long, drawn-out slugfest that requires the sustained expenditure of enormous quantities of munitions, artillery shells, rockets, missiles, small arms, cartridges, and so on. To supply these munitions, a fighting force needs to be backed by strong munitions manufacturing infrastructure or have huge stockpiles that can sustain the war while supplies are depleted. The United States has neither. No sufficiently large stockpiles and no existing munition manufacturing infrastructure that can keep pace with Russia, which at times has expended up to 20,000 artillery rounds per day. We can't even do that. That's why there's talks of building a factory out there to build munitions, but too little too late. Again, takes you a while to build a factory. All Russia has to do is attack it while you're building it. Now that sucks, right? Got to start over. So it's a very good point, and I think it's true. I think ultimately Ukraine has no chance of winning. No chance. Russia warns absurd talks of sending warplanes to Ukraine, risking war escalation. Now, we know Joe Biden said he wasn't sending F-16s. At least recently we saw a story stating that. We'll see if that changes. But it comes after French President Emmanuel Macron suggests on Monday that the possibility of France sending some of its fighter jets to Ukraine was not, quote, prohibited in principle, end quote, so long as Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's administration could give assurances that the aircraft would not be used to escalate the conflict. Oh, so now we're going to trust Zelensky? The dude's a freaking liar. He tried to start World War III with an errant Ukrainian missile and blamed it on Russia. We're going to trust him to not escalate? Are you literally as dumb as you look, Emmanuel? Or your boyfriend that thinks it's a woman? Or I don't know, whatever. I don't know what's going on there, but that is not a girl. That, quote, wife of his, finger quotes. So we'll see what happens there. Former French president says Putin is radically rational, not mad, not a crazy madman, not a madman. He also believes that Putin is betting that Western countries will grow tired of backing Ukraine and agree to negotiate an end to the conflict that will be favorable to Russia. I think he's 100% right. According to the report by Politico, Hollande, I guess, does not seem to believe in insanity has anything to do with Putin's decision-making with the Socialist Party grandee, instead painting a picture of a leader concerned with the dynamics of political, social, and military power. He is a radically rational person, or a rationally radical person, as you like. He's got his own reasoning, and within that framework, he's ready to use force. He's only able to understand the power dynamic that we're able to set up against him. So, again, just basically saying, Putin's not crazy. He knows what he's doing. I mean, you know, am I pro-Putin? Yeah, probably more so than Biden, I'd be honest. Am I pro-our country more so than Russia? For sure. No, it's unquestionable. Expert panel says Russia's holding a nuke deal hostage to deter U.S. support for Ukraine. Now, what this all really comes around, there's a lot of noise about how Russia's breaking their deal, breaking the contract, breaking. And sure, maybe they do have extra nuclear weapons. We don't know. That's the problem. Russia's not letting us come in to investigate. And that's one of the things with the START treaty, is that we were supposed to be able to go in and actually, you know, look at some of these places where these nukes should be located and assess with our own eyes what's going on. But since there's a proxy war happening right now between our two countries, Russia's like, F you. No. You're not coming in here and doing nothing. Well, you broke the treaty. Nah, F you. Again, right? Like, I don't even know. This is the most ridiculous thing ever. So, whatever. We're making a lot of noise like Russia's the bad guy, of course, because that's what we do. But at the same time, we're being total douchebags ourselves. So, yeah, it's just a tough place right now. Now, we got this Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis saying nuclear war is inevitable. U.S. has no plan in Ukraine. Now, I don't agree with the nuclear war is inevitable, but I do totally agree that we don't have a plan. We don't have a chance in hell either. Now, from someone who has done combat operations in a tank-on-tank fights in operations patrolling the east-west border during the Cold War and its potential Soviet invasions, and was the second in command of an armored cavalry squadron for the 1st Armored Division in the mid-2000s in Germany, I can tell you that just having NATO tanks does not equal battlefield success. And I was talking about that the other day. There's all sorts of things that go into tanks and how they work and how we try to, you know, you have to learn how to put, like, you know, stuff on them. You need to learn how to hide behind things, be able to poke out barely. I mean, there's some, make sure you just got your front, make sure they, artillery doesn't know where you're at, because tanks are really vulnerable to artillery. A whole lot of things go into tanks. And yeah, of course, if we don't figure out how to do this, it's going to go nuclear. If we continue to escalate things, it will likely go nuclear. I don't believe it's going to, but that's the thing we're all supposed to be freaked out about. Now, Russian mercenaries posted a video recording U.S. recruiting U.S. veterans to fight Ukraine. Not sure why I can't read today, but whatever. Happens. But here's what they're saying, and it's kind of, I mean, the video, it wouldn't play. I think it's somewhere, you know, it wouldn't surprise me that this has been taken down. I think it was on Telegram, and then there's probably another few versions of it floating around, but it was long from what I could tell. But they said one of the key parts in it, a little voiceover guy's talking, I don't know if it's with a Russian accent or what, but he goes, "You dreamed of defeating evil. You dreamed of doing much to make America great again. But in reality, you served criminal orders, the destruction of nations, the death of civilians, and all for the will of a bunch of families who thought they were earthly gods, deciding who would live under their rule and who would be destroyed. You began to realize that this is the side of evil. This is not the America the founding fathers dreamed of. It has become the focus of the evil that is destroying the whole world. And today, the only country fighting the evil is Russia. If you're a true patriot of the very future of great America, join the ranks of warriors of Russia. Help defeat evil, or it will be too late for everyone." Again, who do I trust? Well, this is supposedly the Russians, the evil, wicked Russians that say this. This is 100% true. I 100% agree with this. 100% what I've been fighting for, and completely opposite of what Biden says. And this is, unfortunately, what Putin's been saying. Again, this is fighting for our country. Putin's doing what he's doing for him. But we're fighting for the future of this world, for the future of our country, for the future of your children, all this stuff. So, again, I kind of agree with what they're saying there. Now, Donald Trump is calling for peace negotiations. I figured we'd play this minute 10. It's always good to hear from the commander-in-chief. Check it out.
"A major disaster is brewing. If I were president, the Russia-Ukraine war would never have happened, never in a million years. But even now, if I were president, I'd be able to negotiate an end to this horrible and rapidly escalating war within 24 hours. It can be done. You have to say the right things, not the wrong things. I think we helped lead Russia into that war by saying, well, if they took a small part of the country, that would be okay. Such a tragic waste of human life when you look at all that's happening there. Those cities are obliterated. First comes the tanks, and then come the nukes. Get this crazy war ended now. It can be done. And in fact, it's easy to get done. When I'm president, we will be a strong country again. People will never be playing these games like they've been doing to the United States of America. They don't respect us anymore. They respected us greatly 2.5 years ago. They don't respect us anymore. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate you being so kind and telling us all these things. Now, Serbia is outlining its stance on NATO membership, and it has basically stepped back and said, we're not interested. Thanks. And that was a very smart move on their part. So that's all. I think that pretty much covers it. Now, I do want to remind you guys of my very, very good friends that are trying to help you hang on to your wealth. DRSLikesGold.com. DRSLikesGold.com. Been having some interesting internet problems today. We'll see if this even opens for me right now. There it is. That's what I was expecting to see. Of course. Let's see. I'll give it a second here and see what we can do. That being said, right now, if you go to DRSLikesGold.com, you'll probably have a better experience with the internet than I've been having today. Again, I think it's one of the common things that our friends in the dark side like to try to do to make things more difficult and painful. But go to DRSLikesGold.com. This is a chance for you to take your wealth and save it. Protect it. Protect it with precious metals. The good friends at Gold Co. can definitely help you with your precious metal help. They are, they're definitely trying to help people get out of this mess where the deep state, like with inflation and with the stock prices and with everything else. I love that this won't even open. This is so awesome. This has been the expectation. Let me see. I've been able to get this to flush. We'll see. We'll see if I can get it to flush. Usually it might even take a couple times sometimes. But check out my good friends, DRSLikesGold.com. Protect your wealth. We've talked about this basically being worth about 5 loaves of bread. And if the price of bread goes up, this stays roughly the same price. It's because the value of the dollar is going down. So as the value of the dollar goes down and I need more dollars to buy bread, there we go, then we can use this because it holds the value. So distracted, I apologize, folks. But this will hold the value. So 5 loaves of bread, if a loaf of bread is $5, cool, this is 25. If a loaf of bread's $10, this is 50. If a loaf of bread's $100, this is 500. And again, it's relative to the value and strength of the dollar. So right now, the price of gold and the price of silver is very good, which means you can take those dollars you have before they're inflated to the point where you lose value and buy something that holds its value. And that way, when the value of the dollar starts to drop and you're sitting on a pile of these now instead of a pile of dollars, you actually don't lose anything. You've still got your wealth, your value. Same case with stock market and all the stock prices. There's a number of problems that can happen with the stock market, and certainly with the value of the dollar, that actually inflates or eats away at the value of your stocks, right? That stock's worth $1,000 per stock, but inflation's happening so badly and the price of the stock's not changing, then that's just eating into your investment. But if you instead are invested in precious metals, again, you're holding onto your wealth, you're protecting your wealth. So if you got an IRA or a 401k, you can transfer that tax-free and penalty-free into precious metals. Gold Co. can help you do that. Also, if you've got some cash lying around, this is a good place to, pick up some gold and silver as well. DRSLikesGold.com, DRSLikesGold.com. Get your 4 data points. Send me your wealth protection kit, and you are on your way. And I guess, yes, wait, you can also get a Ronald Reagan silver coin, by the way, as well. Let's fill out a couple data points. It's a really good time to hop onto this DRSLikesGold.com and maybe kill a couple birds with one stone, if you will. Or if anything, try to see if you can just get yourself the free silver coin. Fill out the 4 data points. Get my free report and a coin. But just gets better. DRSLikesGold.com. DRSLikesGold.com. There you go. All right, where the hell was I? Where am I? Where am I, people? I am seriously lost. Where the hell am I? Yep. Past that. There we are. Ha ha. Whew. Good Lord Almighty. Defense Department successfully test fires a hypersonic missile. Very cool stuff. Now, I was talking about the Russian ship that was a spy ship that was sitting off the coast of Hawaii recently, and I suspected that they were out there because we were probably going to be doing some sort of missile test. I suspected that we'd be doing some sort of hypersonic missile test, but for the life of me, I could not figure out where this missile was launched. It was launched from a B-52, but I have not been able to find any place where it sort of even gives me an inkling where this plane might have been flying. Over the Pacific would make sense. I mean, we've got a lot of technology that can look for stuff there, but whatever. Not quite sure. But this thing got up over Mach 5. It got to, it went really high, too. Where was that? That was probably, I think, in here. Went up to, like, 600,000 feet or something crazy. Yeah, went up to 600,000 feet, and it flew more than 300 miles. I mean, it was launched from a B-52. So for it to kind of cruise that far and fast and up, that's pretty crazy, pretty awesome. So, again, they were saying it was a super successful test. I think this is meant to put a little pressure on China and Russia and everybody else. Like, yeah, we got some of these things, too. And again, are we just at the beginning stages of it, or is this just acknowledging it to the world that we have them already? Again, sometimes it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. North Korea is threatening the United States again, says situation has reached an extreme red line. We'll do whatever we got to do to fight you. If that's what we got to do, then we're going to do it. And they go, we're pissed off too that you're hanging out with the South Koreans so much. It's not nice. We don't like that. So whatever. So they're pissed off. Kim Jong-un is not happy. Now, the terrorists seek to slaughter us indiscriminately, is what Netanyahu's telling us. We must all unite as one in the relentless fight against them. This dude's like a major war hawk. And I'm not saying he's good or bad. I've heard stories that he's definitely deep state. I'm not sure. He's been around a long time, so I assume. But who knows? Who knows who the good guys are and who the bad guys are at this point? But this guy is, well, stirring the war pot. So we got all the crazy going on over in Ukraine and all that. And Trump's, you know, not president right now, right? So things are happening because Biden's weak and not doing anything and seems to be actually more of a problem than a good thing, right? So now we've got Iran and Israel. They're heating up big time. We've got North Korea pissed off big time. We got Taiwan. I got a story coming up too. That's extra pissed off, or is pissing off China. And we're helping, interestingly. So a lot of things are starting to heat up. Now, I think the Russian thing is going to probably have to end sooner than later, just from the sheer fact that I think Russia ultimately has to stop us from just continuing to put more and more crap into there. I don't know. It's kind of like the Rocky fight, too. I don't know if you guys remember when he was fighting Clubber Lane. I've heard X-22 talk about this reference a lot, and it's a good reference. And really, you know, Clubber Lane, Mr. T, just punching, and then ends up exhausted. And that's the point when Rocky starts throwing his punches. So he takes the blows, right? Blocks, you know, takes it to the side of the body instead of the face or whatever, right? Like, so it's an interesting concept. And that's sort of, I think, maybe what Russia's kind of doing with us, right? We'll see. There's a lot going on. Like I said, wars and rumors of wars, like all that's happening right now, folks. Matthew 24 and Revelation are probably two books in the Bible that we should all pay attention to. Now, Ilhan Omar has been called out for mind-boggling comments. As Rep says, GOP has the votes to kick her off the committee. She is in the, or was, on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. She was on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. The House has voted to remove Rep Ilhan Omar from the Foreign Affairs Committee. The vote was 218 to 211, with one member voting present. Bye-bye, Ilhan Omar. Bye-bye. Folks, we're changing things. It is happening, right? It's not fast enough, Dan. You know, I know one thing. When things happen, they happen how they happen, right? It is what it is, like they say, and it pisses people off when you say that, but it's still true. And I believe this is God's plan. Now, we're all operating within God's plan, but ultimately it's happening at the speed it's supposed to. My guess is we can't take it much faster. I think that's true. And I think there's a certain level of awakening that needs to occur, and that's what part of this process is. Now, everybody sees it as the destruction of the United States, and that's what it's supposed to look like. Yeah. And that's the only way to wake people up, because if it seemed like it was fake, right? Well, it was just meant to make me nervous. Well, then it wouldn't work, would it? But if it legitimately looks like we're about to lose our country, which we would if we're not doing what we're doing, then, yeah, that gets people off their asses, gets them involved, gets them worried, gets them looking into stuff, gets them talking to people, and that's where we're at. U.S. Border Patrol agents report a 743% increase in illegal migrants trying to cross the northern border. Of course, Jared Nadler probably says that's not true. It's made up. I'm just making that up because I'm going to bring him up in a story here coming up here in a little while. And I just feel like being mean to the guy. That's all. That's all. Some of the fun. Anywho, yeah, anyone surprised that Border Patrol stuff's getting worse? U.S. has blocked companies from selling parts to China's Huawei. This is a big deal. This is a really big deal. This is going to push the Taiwan thing, and I kind of feel like it's meant to. We'll see. United States dealt another blow to Chinese telecom giant Huawei with new action from the U.S. Commerce Department that blocks the renewal of licenses allowing American firms to sell essential components to the smartphone maker. Financial Times broke the news, reporting that the decision will end Huawei's ability to obtain processor chips and other technology from U.S. companies such as Intel and Qualcomm. They can't get processor chips for these phones and whatnot. That's huge. That completely destroys Huawei. That's like economic warfare. So while the Federal Communications Commission has already banned the sale of new Huawei equipment within the U.S. due to national security risks back in November, the latest move against the Beijing-supported company puts the multinational corporation in an even more difficult position. Accordingly, a spokeswoman for China's foreign ministry, Mao Ning, told the Associated Press that China is gravely concerned about the reports and accused the U.S. government of overstretching the concept of national security and abusing state power in order to harm competition from China. It was like pot kettle. Excuse me, Mao Ning. I don't know if you're hot or not. There's no picture of you. I'm assuming you are just because you're Chinese, but whatever. Overreaching? Says you to us? Excuse me? Sucker? No, that ain't how it works, man. Anyway, such practices are contrary to the principles of market economy and our blatant technological hegemony. Mao continued, adding that China would defend the legitimate rights of its companies. How? How are you going to defend that, China? Now, are they going to go into Taiwan? Because that's where a lot of these things are made? Maybe. But Taiwan's also said they would blow up the chip factories if China invades. So, again, we're in an interesting place in history, is all I can say. Now, Biden and McCarthy, they strike some positive tone. They're talking about the debt ceiling. Biden made some sort of stupid comment about how, you know, he's going to try to be respectful. You know, that's something. Let's start treating each other with respect. That's what Kevin and I are going to do. Thanks, Biden. You're a tard, for sure. So the current ceiling is approximately $31.4 trillion set 13 months ago. McCarthy says if we continue the trajectory that we're in for the next 10 years, we'll spend $8 trillion just on interest on the national debt. Said the greatest threat to America is our debt. Our debt is now 120% of GDP, meaning our debt is larger than our economy. That is a problem. Now, this is an example of how the central bank, the deep state, how they were going to try to bankrupt the United States and force us to accept the deep state's rules, right? Once we got so far in debt, we wouldn't be able to say no because we need the money, otherwise we go broke. It's what they do to all countries. And that's, one, why we got to get the central bank out, drslikesgold.com, drslikesgold.com. Get your money out of that friggin' system. Get it into precious tangibles, okay? Tangibles. This is worth something. I keep beating the horse because, folks, I'm doing it too, right? You got to keep some money in cash, obviously, because you got to pay your bills. But anything extra, anything you, get it out of their system. Get it out of their system. So it is a big problem what's going on. And at some point, who knows what crazy shenanigans banks might pull, the government might pull, the IRS might pull, who knows? Now, this is a very interesting little 23 seconds that McCarthy gives when a reporter talks about committing that the U.S. will not default on its obligations. I love his answer. Check it out.
Can you commit that the U.S. will not default on its obligations?
Look. If I look at anything and you want to equate this, if you have a child and you give them a credit card and they spend that limit, you're responsible for paying that credit card. But the responsible thing, too, is going forward, not just raise the limit, but look at how you're spending.
Doesn't his face look a little red? It must be cold out there, I'm assuming. I can't assume he's got a sunburn, but it looks like maybe it's cold or something. I don't know. Who knows? So McCarthy says, I don't think China can tell me where to go. Because McCarthy's responding to the CCP warning about a potential Taiwan visit. Uh-oh. Remember how Pelosi pissed off China with the Taiwan visit right before the election, or right after the election, I think it was? Interesting. McCarthy's now going back there to, what, fix something? Maybe undo something? Maybe take control of something? Not quite sure. Not quite sure. But I would say it's a safe speculation that he's kind of going there to undo whatever Pelosi did. Something to that effect. That would be my guess. Now, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has reportedly pulled dissenter Senator Rick Scott from the Important Commerce Committee, which could be interpreted as retaliation for challenging his leadership bid. It's a big part of why I don't think a lot of people came out against McConnell, because they know how the game's played. And they knew there was no way they were going to be able to get rid of McConnell. They didn't have enough people in the Senate. Maybe that changes after the next fair election we get. Maybe. Hopefully. Hopefully this guy doesn't even rerun. I don't know. I think he's got, I don't know. I don't know if he's 2 years or 4 years. I'm not sure where he's at in his cycle. So we'll see. But he's taken down Mike Lee. He's taken him off a committee. And also, yeah, Rick Scott. So the two guys that were very vocal about disliking this mofo have been removed from their committees. Now, remember, committees are extra money, big time. Now, these guys are already making a crap ton of money, let's be honest, but whatever. It is what it is. Trudeau government refuses to sanction communist China over the Uyghur genocide. Literally, it's Justin Castro, such a bastard. The Trudeau government has rejected a petition to sanction communist China for its persecution of Uyghur Muslims. On Monday, Justin Castro's cabinet released their decision to spurn a federal court petition to sanction communist China, saying that they have decided not to act. The petition was put forward by lawyers from the Uyghur Rights Advocacy Project, which wants an official sanction on behalf of the minority community currently suffering genocide in Chinese slave camps. Again, here in America, we talk about the slavery. We want to give reparations. We don't even care that there is current slavery in the world, physical slavery. And then on top of that, we're all debt slaves. I mean, so again, it's just such a stupid concept that we're fighting about race. Race is dumb. It's the dumbest thing to possibly fight about. I can't think of anything dumber. It's pretty up there. Anyway, Trudeau himself commented saying that the decision to sanction China for that reason would have to be made with caution. When it comes to the application of the very specific word genocide, we simply need to ensure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, Trudeau told reporters. Now, Trudeau, I'm just going to let you know there are no T's in the word genocide. Just saying. So at least it's like half the work. There is a couple I's in there, or an I, sorry. So, yeah. I mean, you got that. Dot that one I. You'll be good. It's a word with an extremely loaded connotation, essentially, is what he's saying. So, nah. Yeah, of course, he's in bed with China. Anyone surprised? I'm not. Now, the banks, central banks, essentially, the Fed, they all raised interest rates. The Fed went up 0.25. Or 25 basis points, basically, which is what they said they were going to do. Still the expectation that they're going to be raising rates more. Again, this is slowing down the housing market. This is slowing down expansion of the government. This is slowing down borrowing. This is causing people with variable rate loans to be screwed. This is causing people with a lot of credit card debt to be screwed. So it's a tough place. Now, I will say, too, and this is kind of an aside, but I just recently heard a story from a guy that was talking about Nassar Jassar and all that stuff. And again, I don't ever talk about it. It's the first time probably in like eons. But he was under the impression that any sort of thing that's going to come along those lines, he thinks is like 2 to 10 years out. And it's just, he says he can't tell. There's too many variables, too many factors. It's all about getting control of the deep state. And then maybe some of these types of things can start to happen. But again, I think that's the new system. So, again, I know a lot of you guys are into that, and some of you guys are like, why are you talking about this, Dan? You're right to question me bringing it up, for sure. No question about that. Now, interesting, 11,000 police surveillance cars with 360-degree cameras and perimeter alerts are going to be patrolling New York City. They're upgrading all their police cars to have these crazy 360 cameras on them so they can see all around, and then the threat detection, and basically going technology to try to catch more criminals while they're just driving around eating donuts or whatever they do. I mean, I could have said meaner things for any of the cops out there. I mean, I'm pro-cop for the most part. Sometimes, like that thing in Memphis. Huh, man. Nothing good about that. That was done specifically to make cops look bad. Horrible. Plan new... Oh, well, to cause a race war. There's that, too. Plan new FBI headquarters is supposed to be twice the size of the Pentagon. You guys are catching on to what the plan was, right? The internal police force that was the brown shirts that were going to essentially arrest all of us, that was their plan. So, yeah, they had a plan for a new headquarters. It was going to be ginormous because, yeah, the internal military force within the United States, yeah, it was going to need room. So, there you go. That shouldn't surprise anybody. Now, I don't think it's going to happen. Doubtful. I doubt they got that budget. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Again, a lot of things they want to do. A lot of things we're currently stopping them from doing. Some stuff kind of, you know, gets through and whatever. So, we take it a day at a time, folks. That's all I can do. Day at a time. The FBI as intelligence unit for the administrative state. Just another example of how the FBI has been kind of running the show, if you will. The one that gets me is like, right, we get all this stuff with Hunter, or we get these people that are going to subpoena the people in front of these committees, right? Jim Jordan and all them. And then when they don't follow the subpoena, wasn't it the DOJ that went and arrested the people, like your Oliver Stones or your Steve Bannons, or right? It was the FBI that arrested those guys, right? Do you think the FBI is going to arrest their people when they don't show up for the subpoenas? Probably not. Now, can the Capitol Police maybe arrest these people? Maybe. And maybe that's the jurisdiction. I don't know that stuff. That's kind of a little outside of my purview, you know. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Certainly brings up some interesting questions around the FBI and whether or not they're actually going to do what they should, whether there's more good agents than bad agents in the FBI that can in any way, shape, or form kind of make things happen. Again, I don't know how bad it really is. My impression is it's pretty bad, at least from the top down, right? Like, I think the further down you go, the better it maybe starts to get, but the top's definitely pretty corrupted, it seems. Now, a very interesting story has come out around eggs. This is very interesting in my mind. Chicken egg yolk antibodies, IgYs, whatever, I don't know. They supposedly block the binding of multiple SARS-CoV-2 spike protein variants to human ACE2 receptors. Chicken egg yolks, antibodies, apparently help keep us safe from COVID. And here we are having all these egg problems. Eggs are becoming super expensive. I don't know. Let's call that a coincidence. Let's do that. Massive peer-reviewed mask study shows little to no difference in preventing COVID flu infection. A whole bunch of studies are brought up in this thing. This South Korean population now tested positive for COVID despite nearly 3 years of consistent universal masking with overwhelming compliance. When will it be enough for experts to admit masks don't work? Got masks are still required in educational institutions and democratic strongholds such as New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, blah, blah, blah. According to the Daily Mail, temporary masking protocol in early January was a mandate following the public letter against the policy by students. South Korea's blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Wearing masks in the community probably makes little or no difference to the outcome of influenza-like illness. The illness compared to not wearing mask ratio was like 95%. Anyway, there's all these studies that are coming out that are basically showing Danish study. There's this, this other one here from Cochrane. Rev has a study that shows masks don't work. Like, there's just a whole bunch of studies that say masks really are not effective. Period. End of story. End of story, right? Crazy. Dr. Deborah Birx admits in her book, where she got paid off, let's be honest, and I'm not going to say the name of the book. You want to get Dr. Birx's book, then you go hunt it down and look for it. I'm certainly not going to make that easier for her. But she admits secretly to sabotaging President Trump by manipulating data and altering CDC guidelines. I just wanted to take one more chance at throwing some shade on her. Felt good. Thank you very much. Now we got an update from Project Veritas. They've now confirmed 6, so far, scientific papers that were written by Dr. Jordan Walker. Who's Dr. Jordan Walker? That's that dude that was on a gay date and started telling how they were manufacturing viruses and how they were getting other monkeys sick to spread it so they could get variances, which essentially is gain of function, and then trying to get out and create the vaccines based off of these things. So maybe possibly involved in getting people sick accidentally or what. Just a lot of weird stuff came from the guy, and he's like, I don't know anything. And we know that I think Pfizer's tried to downplay this, but come to find out, Project Veritas has uncovered 6 scientific papers written by this dude. So he obviously knew a lot more than he was admitting to, huh? New Rasmussen poll finds Democrats, or more Democrats than Republicans, are questioning the safety of COVID vaccines. I want a high five. Whoop-shah. High five, baby. Whoop-shah. New Rasmussen poll finds more Democrats than Republicans are questioning the safety of the COVID vaccines. Now, translated slightly differently, more Republicans than Democrats don't get the vaccines anyway. So just right off the bat, you're going to have a sliding scale, probably, just statistically. But the fact that Democrats are starting to question it is the key right now. And Rasmussen's pretty solid poll. We like them, generally. But again, it's a poll. I don't trust polls pretty much at all, but, you know, whatever. We use them when they benefit us, and we laugh at them when they don't, right? So just to give an example of how this company called AbbVie, they gamed the U.S. patent system to generate a whole bunch of extra money. So they've got this anti-inflation, anti-inflammatory, anti-arthritis drug, and it is called Humira. And what they were doing is every time the Humira drug would get close to the end of its patent, where it could go into, well, you get the cheap version of it, right? They would change it just ever so slightly so they could get a new patent. And they kept doing that, and they were able to continue to sell this drug. People that are on this drug, that are prescribed this drug, and it probably allows them to function in the world. I've seen people with really bad arthritis, and it looks horrible, right? This stuff, they were selling, it sells for about $50,000 a year is what a lot of these patients were having to pay, or insurance companies were having to pay, or Medicare was having to pay. Again, this is all a racket. Medicare is flooding money directly to these pharmaceutical companies. They make these little deals in back rooms, and these medical companies are making fortunes off the United States government and these crap medicines that should be allowed to go to the generic, right? But they were fighting it. So again, costing us billions of dollars. It's insanity how it plays out. Now, I just wanted to say we caught an interesting picture of Jerry Nadler actually sunning on a dock. I just wanted to point that out. It was probably holiday time for him, but Jerry's looking good. Looking good, Jerry. You look like you've lost some weight, actually. Have you? You look good. Anyway, that being said, I got to give the guy some points. And I don't know, this might be the only time in the history of my life that I ever give Jerry Nadler points. But there's been a lot of talk about this anti-American House Democrats that refuse to agree to recite the Pledge of Allegiance before meetings. Well, that's kind of being misstated. And I'm not saying I'm against the idea of doing the Pledge of Allegiance more often, but it's not quite how it's being represented in the news. And I felt like I needed to be mentioned correctly. And Nadler is the one who spoke out against the amendment, saying, I would oppose it simply on the grounds that, as members know, we pledge allegiance every day on the floor, and I don't know why we should pledge allegiance twice in the same day to show how patriotic we are. He's kind of got a point. We used to just say it once in school, right? In the morning, right? And they usually come on the intercom and we'd all do the Pledge of Allegiance together as a school, which is pretty cool. And then that was it. You never did it again in the day, right? Just once. And once is probably sufficient and kind of creepy in a weird kind of way anyway, because very Roman in its own thing. I think I learned from Eddie Izzard, only 2 countries in the history of the world ever put their hands over their hearts. And that's us and Rome. The only countries ever, ever. Nobody else does that. It's kind of strange. I mean, again, Rome never fell, just relocated. We've heard all sorts of crazy, fun little adages throughout the years. But yeah, so interesting point. I feel like they're misrepresenting the Democrats a little bit on this. Now, again, do they deserve any kindness? No, but meh. Now, on the other side of this, Seattle, one of the worst cities ever, one of the worst examples of how to manage a city. Seattle firefighters were ordered to remove their thin blue line flag after complaints. They hate cops so much in this city that's got so much crime and so many cars being stolen that Seattle's literally suing Kia and some other car manufacturer for not installing for free or whatever automatically anti-theft theft deterrent devices. Like, they're literally suing the car manufacturers because their city is so horribly dangerous. People are stealing so many cars that somehow it's the car manufacturer's fault. Again, the thinking of Democrats, right? You got to sue the gun manufacturer, not the person that did the shooting. No. You got to sue the car manufacturers, not the people that steal. It's the Dems. I mean, well, it's really this crazy communist group. I mean, you know, if people still support them, they're going to be on the Democrat side, yes. But again, I'm hesitant to just blame all Democrats. I think that's a little unfair. I think there's a lot of Democrats that are like, ooh, I don't know what's going on. My party is a mess. We need these people. We want these people. No Americans left behind, folks. No Americans left, unless they're the ones that absolutely hate this, like Antifa people. And those, we're leaving them the hell behind, that's for sure. We're going to put them in a small little box and drop some smoke bombs in there and walk away. U.S. corn market's about to collapse. So Mexico did this. They're not taking genetically modified corn any longer. We've got some farmers that are like, it's so expensive to go back to normal corn. Well, here's the thing, farmers, and I feel bad for you, but if you're one of the farmers that got out of this GMO thing and you're making genetically modified food, I don't want it. I don't support what you're doing. I'd love it if you did a GoFundMe or something like that, or a Give, Send, Go or whatever. You can probably do GoFundMe, but like, go ahead and do a thing. I'm sure a lot of people will actually help support you getting equipment so you can grow non-GMO stuff, but don't cry me a river, man. You went the wrong way. You made a bad choice. You can get more stuff, and I don't have to use as much chemicals, and I don't, blah, 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 blah. Right, I get you. I do. But at the same time, it's shucks. It's not healthy, huh? So maybe I'd rather have healthy corn than not. And again, you got a bunch of GMO corn. I don't turn into gas. Do that corn, what are they, whatever that alcohol is that you guys make from corn. It's stupid expensive, but then use it for that. Or send it to China. I know we're sending a crap ton of corn to China. Send it to them. Let them feed it to their pigs or whatever. I don't give a crap. Just stop making it. That's what we need to do. So in an interesting attack on the LAX airport, went completely dark, suffered a major power outage. It was out for, I don't know, like an hour from what we understand. Now, a couple things popped into my head. One, was this demonstration that a hacking could occur? Was this just a hack for a different reason? Meaning, was someone expected to leave Los Angeles Airport and they felt like the only way to keep them from going anywhere was to literally shut down the power of the entire grid at the airport? That's huge. That's a big deal. Like, they lost traffic lights, all the backup stuff. Like, they lost it all for like an hour. Why? Right? What was happening? It feels to me more like it was trying to keep someone from leaving. It's what it felt like to me. And that was a very good way to do it if you think about it. I would think there would be in multiple airports if it was a hack, because that would make more sense. So I don't think this was that per se. When I say per se, I mean like could have easily been the NSA that, you know, knocked the power out via a legitimate legal hack, quote unquote, but still think it might have been to stop people from leaving. Don't know. Heartland Institute ships Climate at a Glance book to thousands of teachers across America. I was just trying to use this as an example of why so many people walk around and spout off things like they're facts that are actually incorrect. And this is kind of how this propaganda is pushed, right? So you got teachers that believe these facts, right? And you've got students that are told these are facts, so they're true, even though they're not. So we've got a lot of stuff that we need to fight about, folks. This ChatGPT is apparently anti-white. Someone asked it to write a poem about how great white people are, and it said, I can't do that. And then they said, write a poem about how great black people are, and it's like, sure, be happy to. So, whatever. It's a racist chatbot. Go figure. Republican councilwoman fatally shot outside her New Jersey home in what appears to be a targeted attack. She was a Republican. She was shot out in front of her house in New Jersey, and she just won the election over somebody that was a Democrat, so who knows? They're definitely looking into it as a homicide, though, unquestionably. And one of the final stories, I guess I'll cover this whole how woke Coke and others, they cash in on the social justice stuff, and it's a long story about it all. And it just made me think, I love these opportunities to point out how nasty Coca-Cola is. It's one of the most horrible things you literally can put in your body. Here's a video how it, and I've done this before, by the way. I had used Coca-Cola numerous times to remove terminals, battery corrosion. I had to do it all the time. I'd get to a point where my car wouldn't start because the corrosion was so nasty. So I'd pour Coca-Cola, literally pour it. I wouldn't scrub it. Some of these videos, they scrub it. I would pour Coca-Cola on it. All that stuff would dissolve, and then I was good. Literally, my car would start right after that. So Coca-Cola works to clean battery terminals. Coca-Cola works to clean rust off of wrenches. Coca-Cola works to clean that calcium stain in your toilet. Coca-Cola is great for all sorts of things except putting it in your body. Don't ever do that. Chris Pratt's Pro America hit series gets the best news ever. Liberals hate this show. This guy's all, first off, Chris Pratt's all America all the time. The guy's awesome. I like Chris Pratt a lot. He's also, he's pro-America. He's in this Amazon series called The Terminal List. Apparently it did so well in its first season, they've brought him back for season number two. I think I might have to try to check out the season. Hopefully it's free with Prime, but whatever. We'll see. Now, interestingly, there's a green comet that came cruising through, and it was the closest, I think, on yesterday. It was 0.28 astronomical units away from us. An astronomical unit is considered the distance between here and the sun, technically about 93 million miles. It does vary a little bit. That being said, this comet was 0.28 of that distance, so it was very close to us. It was a very pretty green comet. I didn't actually see it. It's kind of a bummer, but comets are always harbingers of things to come. They've always kind of been that historically in the past. And I'm just throwing this out there, kind of wondering, I don't want to dig too deep, and I really don't want emails from any of you guys, but I'm kind of curious, like, how do comets fit into the whole flat Earth theory? Like, is there a place for those? Because you guys don't believe space stations exist, even though there's video backyard astronomers filming the space station numerous times, like backyard people, not government officials. People just bought a telescope themselves and literally punched in some coordinates and were able to film it. Kind of wondering about that one too. But whatever. I wonder. Comets are cool anyway. So I don't know. Not that I want to necessarily hear from anybody on the flat Earth thing. I think most of you guys are probably blocked, in all honesty, but whatever. Finally, there was a giant fireball that kind of exploded over Russia. Reminded me of Tunguska, except Tunguska actually hit the ground. But there's a couple cool little views of it. Check it out. Maybe we can. We'll see. With all of my fun I've been having with the internet, it might be blocking me on this and may not be worth the effort. We'll see. We'll see if I can get this to load up for us. It's all possible. There we go. All right. Well, that last one was kind of cool, too. But anyway, so yes, there was a neat little kind of a thing that blew up in the sky. Look at that. That is crazy cool. I've seen something like that once. It was pretty fantastic. And really what happens, I mean, that's probably much higher than it looks, but what happens is the lower atmosphere is exceptionally dense. And so these giant molten balls or whatever the hell, as they're coming into the atmosphere and heating up and all that, they hit that dense atmosphere and literally explode. Like, it's just, it's too thick. And so, yeah, it just blows the hell out of them. These things are traveling at multiple Machs, multiple speeds of sound, usually probably, my understanding is usually about 22,000 miles an hour, roughly, but depends on the angle they came in and all that thing, but still, very cool stuff. That all being said, folks, we've got a lot happening. Things are happening quickly. There's investigations happening everywhere. I would say constantly try to keep patience as your gift. And one thing I do want to ask all of us to do is pray for a resolution to the Russian-Ukrainian conflict and all of its complexities, and allow the resolution that benefits the largest number of people on this planet. I think if we come at it from that standpoint, because this is a conflict, it needs to be resolved. So praying for it to just stop is kind of not necessarily a good thing. But praying for a resolution that benefits the most possible people, that's God's plan, always. So please pray for that. And pray for that when it comes to our government, when it comes to all these things that we're going through. Because these conflicts are needed, but the resolutions are also kind of need to happen in the best way possible, right? Not necessarily the way we think is best, but the way God thinks is best. So try to come at it from that angle if you can. And certainly if you're using your prayer time, you're helping a lot, believe it or not. So please do that. That will make it a big, big, big difference. I love you guys. Keep pushing. Keep standing with me shoulder to shoulder. And I'm going to keep pushing on with you. Where we go one, we go all. It's On the Fringe with Dan Radio Style.